I'm Demay Roberts, Stage and Studios. We're listening to a song by Moira Smiley. Her music is at moirasmiley.com. On Stage and Studio today, we feature a couple, actually several world premieres. Actor-writer Lauren Weedman is performing her world premiere play, Lauren Weedman Doesn't Live Here Anymore, at Portland Center Stage at the Armory through April 30th. We'll hear from her director, Rose Reardon, in a moment. And later in the show, Wayne Harrell of the Northwest Theater Workshop tells us about two world premiere plays that he's closing this weekend. It's world premiere time on Stage and Studio. Stay with us. I'm Demay Roberts. Actress and author Lauren Weedman is always writing personal and funny stories. And in her book and in her play, she turns life's pain into memorable stories. And this time she sings, too, as her alter ego, as a country singer named Tammy Lisa. We had scheduled to talk with Lauren, but she's feeling under the weather today. So that's the bad news. But the good news is her stalwart director, Rose Reardon, Associate Artistic Director of Portland Center Stage, joins us now via phone. Hey, Rose, are you there?
I am.
Hey,
how are
Rose.
You?
Hey, thanks for stepping in there. I hope Lauren does get well soon to continue her run there at Portland Center Stage.
She will be fine. She has a terrible, terrible cold, and so vocally, she needs to rest it. She can't really talk.
Oh, I totally get that.
Yeah. So
somebody
that,
who works with her voice,
on.
I totally get that. So we wish her well and a speedy recovery. Now, you've worked with Lauren quite a bit before, right, Rose?
Mm-hmm. We had her here several years ago, and that was our first introduction to Lauren with her show. Oh, God. I haven't had enough coffee.
Oh, it's the Portland, what is it? The
People's Republic of Portland.
Thank you.
The show that I did with her. She was here once before that, and that's where we met her. And Lauren and I worked on People's Republic of Portland. We did two production or runs of
Yeah, she came
here.
Back to do it again. So, you know, what is it about her work that really connects with Portland and Portlanders?
Well, I can't speak for the population of Portland.
Well, you have an idea. You have an idea. Why would you bring her back?
Right. I think her appeal is her honesty and her ability to look at things that we all carry around with us, and she will take them out and examine them. And so it's sort of like, you know, therapy by proxy watching her. She has a unique insight sort of to, you know, things that we all go through, but she has a way of contextualizing them in a way that, I don't know, brings greater understanding. And I think she's pretty representative of our larger audience, you know, in terms of life and experience. And so, you know, and she's incredibly talented actress, performer, comedian. So, you know, that's always a pleasure to watch someone's work like that.
Well, and her writing actually puts the meaning in humor. You know, there's a lot
exactly.
of depth in there. So is Lauren Weedman Doesn't Live Here Anymore a bit of a departure from the other work that she's done? She's taking on an alter ego as opposed to it's all being about herself, or, you know, maybe I'm misunderstanding. But
No. That's a really interesting. I would say that, yes, in one way it is a departure, but I don't think it's meant to continue departing and she becomes alter egos. I think the actual material is so deeply personal. All of her work is personal, but this particular material is pretty painful and really honest. And it was a real challenge trying to figure out for her how to tell this story. I mean, because it wasn't really a story that she had enough distance from to easily, you know, discuss it. But because her work is so self-referential and, you know, she goes inside to figure out what the story is. It was, in a way, looking for a way to be able to talk about it from a little bit of distance. So So this idea actually of Tammy Lisa, which is a real thing. I mean, Tammy Lisa is her was going to be her adopted name, or it was not her adopted name, but would have been her name if she hadn't been adopted. And she had recently found that out. And so the idea of creating this under Tammy Lisa, as well as, you know, I kept referring to the parts where Lauren was just talking to us as Lauren, as the character of Lauren, so that she could find a way into it without shying away from it, because it is so raw.
Yeah, and I did not realize that was Tammy Lisa was her birth, would have been her birth name. That's so interesting. It adds even more layers to it, doesn't
right.
it?
Pretty much everything you hear in a Lauren show actually happens. We may
tweak it a bit, but
on that. But yes, of course. I mean, no, she didn't, you know, do a duet with the country and western singers, Loretta Lynn, or, you know, Lucinda Williams, her, you know, big hero. But it is all pulled from her experiences. Always, yeah. And well, so sometimes it's a minefield, you know, of how to walk through that and keep your sanity, you know.
Oh, I totally know that. Well, you know, we're going to play a clip shortly, but I just wanted to sort of delve more into the process of creating this play, because you have really nurtured this solo play since its beginning. It was also mm-hmm. workshopped at JAW Playwrights mm-hmm. Festival last summer. I mean, you've been really involved in it since its very inception.
Yeah, well, Lauren and I, you know, after we did People's Republic together, we have a pretty good language in the room, and, you know, Lauren performs alone, and she works by herself a lot, and so directing her is also collaborating with her a lot. It's not the same as, you know, you walk in with a script and you sit down and you go, okay, move there, move there, move there. It's really sort of just navigating a rodeo, you know, in rehearsal, you know, like a hurricane, you know, and sculpting it. She's an amazing whirlwind of energy and ideas and thoughts and information, and I find her super fun to work with. And, you know, I always feel like my head is really loud and full after rehearsal, and I'm not really sure what we've done. But then we come back in the next day, and it's, you know, you keep building on it. But it's unlike any process I've ever experienced before.
Well, it sounds like she keeps you on your toes as well, and challenges you. Now, in Lauren Weidman doesn't live here anymore. She gets back to her rural roots. And we've talked about Tammy Lisa, mm-hmm. a country singer, which might have been her original birth name, you know, that she had found out because, mm-hmm. you know, she found out she was adopted. Has Lauren sung before in other shows? I guess I don't remember that.
No, she hasn't, actually. It's funny because the first time we worked together, she said she's always wanted to dance in a show, and she's just never...
And she did dance, yeah.
Yes. So, for People's Republic, we introduced sort of these moment breaks with her dancing, and then she's always wanted to sing, and I think, too... as she was sort of stepping through the minefield of, you know, breaking up, she became very attracted to some country and western singers who, you know, basically she was relating to. And that sort of, I don't know that that was the inspiration for her wanting to sing, but I think that sort of inspired her to find a way to put that sort of energy.
Well, and the play deals with love and heartbreak, so what more tells sure. that than country songs? And she also plays the guitar
right.
quite well, actually. Let's hear a clip from Lauren Weidman Doesn't Live Here.
No, Nikki. I'm going to jump in there. I need a pick, if you don't mind. Smoke's a doggone thick, you could cut it with a knife. And the music's so loud, you can hear the same line twice. Leroy Brown, how do you like my big old pink limo? I just drawed out your money at the bank today, honey. You ain't got no more. I gotta call myself along, pick a limousine. Hey, believe it or not, it's the prettiest thing I think I ever seen. It's got a big bar in the corner and a TV on that side. His baby's 60 feet long and 40 feet wide.
And that was Lauren Weedman. Doesn't live here anymore. World premiere by Lauren Weedman, directed by Rose Reardon, and it runs through April 30th, Tuesday through Sunday at 7:30. And there's matinees and on Saturday and Sunday, and Thursdays at noon. More info at pcs.org. Now, with me on the phone is the director of the show, Rose Reardon. And now you also, at the same time, Rose, that you've been directing Lauren Weedman, you've also been co-directing Wild and Reckless, another world premiere, Rose. Listen to this. And it's created by Group Blitz and Trapper. It's not an intervention here. I'm just still, that's a lot to do, though. So in the time remaining, you know, it looks a little wild, this Wild and Reckless on stage. And, you know, someone called the scientist in the group Blitz and Trapper. Can you tell us a short synopsis of that play?
Well, we're not calling it a play.
We're
calling it sort of a storytelling concert event where Blitz and Trapper is telling the story of an alternate universe of Portland, sort of through a real experience, actually, that the lead guitar, Eric Early, who basically wrote everything and wrote this story, sort of based on a part of his life at one time in this science fiction world of electricity being mined for actual powering the world, but an offshoot of that is this drug and what it did to, you know, the city. It takes place in, again, an alternate reality of Portland. And, you know, the storytelling is, you know, you're basically a band with their instruments, so it's not the same as being able to, you know, sort of move around and, you know, do blocking. But we do a fair share of that, and visually, there's a lot of storytelling with projections, and we have this incredible set with that we are able to sort of create this world in. And yes, we decided to do them at the same time for a very practical reason. And that is that our show schedule is very difficult for a solo performer or people who sing as well, and because of so many shows a week. So we're trying to sort of address that and keep our schedule. So we decided to do both shows at the same time and divide the performance schedule between them, so it gave vocal rest to both.
Well, and it's running in repertory, so you are
exactly
a repertory theater there. Wild and Reckless by Blitz and Trapper runs through April 30th as well at Portland Center Stage at the Armory, and you can check out times at pcs.org or call their box office for Lauren Weedman Doesn't Live Here Anymore as well at 503-445-3700. That's 445-3700. Rose, I understand you're nearly complete in choosing the Jaw Festival plays, or you've read through a bunch and you're looking
at
the finish
actually,
line here.
Funny that you bring that up.
Well, we only have like a minute, so
tomorrow is the big day
that you're
the
choosing
committee.
Okay,
yeah, we choose the finals.
Well,
but it'll be another 6 weeks before we can announce.
I'm always advocating for Oregon playwrights, so just
yes,
putting
you
it
are
out there.
Yeah.
Well, we look forward to hearing more about that as we get closer to the date this summer. Cool. Rose Reardon, thanks for jumping in here and filling in for Lauren Weedman, and I hope she's rested, gets enough vocal rest for the rest of her shows this week. You take care. Thanks so much.
Thanks to me. Bye.
Up next, we'll hear about two world premiere plays at Northwest Theater Workshop, and let's hear a piece composed by Allegri, which is featured in one of the plays. Beautiful piece of music there. I'm Demi Roberts, stage and studio. With me via phone is Wayne Harrell of Northwest Theater Workshop. Hey, Wayne.
Hello, Demi.
Hey, thanks for waiting in the wings there.
My pleasure.
So you've started this new company that sort of morphed from Bump in the Road Theater, which was begun by my good friend, Carmel Alonzo Weil, a longtime friend of mine. But it's transitioned to Northwest Theater Workshop. Tell us about that transition, which was official last year.
Yeah. Happy to. And it was actually the brainstorm of C.G. Guerin. She's our producing artistic director. And she had the vision of trying to help local playwrights and performance makers develop their work to a higher level and so that it's ready to be presented to the public and then help them present it to the public. And these are our very first two productions to do that.
Well, that sort of answers my next question, because I was going to ask you if you were the artistic director or if it was more of a collective group, and it sounds like more like a co-artistic directorship here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm a co-producer, she's the artistic director.
Ah.
So it was, like I said, it was her vision, and we developed these two projects together, because when it comes time to actually produce things, you know, you got to get the people who have the skin in the game. So it was her play and my play, and we're the ones to lead the charge. But it's our goal that we'll be able to invite and incorporate other artists in town to help them bring their work to stage here in Portland, so that local audiences can see what local artists are thinking about and dreaming about and get stirred up about, and we can put it out there for public discussion.
Well, when I first heard you were doing this, I thought, why would you do two full-length plays at the same time? That's kind of nuts, you know? But then I started thinking as a theater producer, and I'm thinking, well, you know, you kind of share a lot of stuff that you could do at the same time. Has it been an easy process? Probably not, but I'm going to ask you that anyway.
You are right. You're right in all of those things. Yes, it is nuts. Yes, it is beneficial, though, too. You know, we have a shared marketing program. We just rent one theater space. We have one insurance plan. We have one design team, which actually was one of my favorite parts of this.
Yeah, that seems kind of nice, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, our design team, Trevor Sargent, he was our scenic and lighting designer, and he knew that he had to create two entirely different sets and a lighting plan that would fit in one space, you know, with a limited amount of lights, and that could also be swapped out in 30 minutes. So that we can go on to our next show, because we're actually doing two shows a night often, or four shows on Saturday. And so we do show one, and then the audience steps out, and we have 30 minutes to swap the set, and it's a totally different set each time. And then we do the next production. So it's been a fun challenge. At the same time, it's been hard. It's been hard, too. The shows are totally different. They just happen to be what was on my heart to write and what was on CG's heart to write, but they're not necessarily united in any way other than that it's what we both feel passionate about and what we were ready to share.
Well, let's talk about the two plays. Jaffa Gate, which is the play you wrote. Let's start with that. Tell us about, you know, some of the themes in that play.
Yeah. I was glad that you could play that music from Allegri Miserere. That was, for me, kind of an inspiration to this whole thing. The music, the first few times I heard that, I just kind of stopped. You know, it just stopped me. And I said, oh, my goodness, what beautiful music. And in our play, it's actually, there's a Circassian tribesman in 1900 Palestine, and it's his responsibility to sacrifice three lives to satisfy a blood vengeance in his tribe. And these three people stumble in, and he's about to kill them. And then he hears this music, and it stops him, and it gives the three prisoners a chance to try to talk to him and talk him out of it. And the prisoners are, it's a Jewish woman, Turkish Muslim woman, and a Christian from America, and so really the themes are about religious tolerance, of listening to each other, hearing each other's stories, trying to find some peace and mercy within that.
Yeah, pretty tough themes, but it sounds like it's very timely for today.
Yeah, I live in Southwest Portland near a couple mosques, and you know, my wife and my sons have, we've had a lot of kind of shared religious connections, and it's just, you know, it was like, oh, we need to talk about this. We need to get this out there. And I wrote it a couple of years ago thinking more about 9/11, and then since then times have changed to even more dire and important to talk about.
Oh, yeah, especially now. Mm-hmm. And Noisemaker, you said it has no relation to Jaffa Gate.
Can
you tell us about C.G. Guerin's play?
Yeah, so C.G. herself, she was inspired. She was at a funeral once not too long ago where there was somebody who just lost a loved one, and it was a younger person, and the person came to the funeral just pretty much just stoned and trying to numb the pain, and that just really stirred up in her some thoughts and some empathy and concern for that person. And at the same time, she was with a group of girlfriends, and they were talking about the sexualization of women and how that's does damage to women. And CG was saying, well, yeah, it also hurts men who do, you know, who are the ones doing that. And all our girlfriends kind of laughed at her, said, oh, come on. And so she said, well, I'm going to write about that then. So she actually blended a couple of those themes together into Noisemaker, which focuses on three men who are dealing with the loss of a loved one and all the different ways and different ways they approach that to try to numb the pain and not really face up to what they need to face up to.
Well, I think you do have a theme going on there overall. It's
what
about loss
it?
And
it?
Pain mm-hmm. and dealing with, you know, difficult times. I think there are themes there that can unite. Come on.
Okay. There you go. Good marketing. See, that
there
way
you go. That's kind of what I do. So Jaffa Gate is, it plays by Wayne Harrell, plays at 7 p.m., and Saturday at 4 p.m. and at 9:30 p.m. Is that correct? This
yep.
final weekend. This is the last weekend, folks, that you can do this. And Noisemaker plays Thursday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. So those are, yeah, I bet that was interesting to schedule all of that.
It was. You missed one. We've also have a Friday night late night, 9:30 for Noisemaker. And that one, thanks to some grants and donors, we're offering for free to students and seniors. So
okay, yeah, you did a crowdfunder for that, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
What was the impetus for that? What was the reason behind that too?
Well, our goal, we're not getting rich, we're not making money here. We're just trying to help stir up conversation. We know that theater is important to do that. A lot of students, seniors, they want to see theater, but it's harder for them. So we're just trying to be more accessible to people.
So the free performance for Noisemakers, 9:30 p.m. on Saturday, this Saturday.
Nope, Friday.
Oh, this Friday. Okay,
mm-hmm.
great.
Yeah, the full schedules are at our website. NWTW.org.
Yeah, NWTW.org. And I also have that at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. All shows are at Shaking the Tree Warehouse Theater. That's located at 823 Southeast Grant Street in Portland. And hey, I've got like 2 minutes here. Wayne, in the time remaining, what else do you have planned for Northwest Theater Workshop? Are you thinking that far ahead?
We're thinking, can we get through Saturday and relax? But then, yes, we've got actually several writers, authors are already working with CG. She's been like a script consultant for some Hollywood producers, and she's developing this really nice program to help writers hone and refine their ideas. And so there's actually probably 10 or 12 authors that are already working with her now. And so once we get through this first iteration and kind of settle our accounts and see what we did, we'll be looking forward to helping them develop and see how we can present those back to the public.
Do you think this year?
I don't know. We got a lot to think about, frankly. We found a lot of things that were succeeded and some things that were like, nope, that was not a good choice. So, I think hopefully by fertile ground at least.
Well, you know, we've had sort of similar paths recently because we both sort of dropped out of theater for a while
mm-hmm.
and then started back into it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you, like me, found how different this theater scene is in this time period?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's hopping. All kinds of people are doing stuff, but I don't know if the audience has grown with it, and. And so it's kind of like we're working hard, but we're kind of scratching our head too, trying to figure out how to reconnect with people. So I really appreciate this chance to interview with you and reach out to more people, Dima. That's a great help.
Well, I'm glad that you're doing work that seems to be very pertinent and timely, and also has some diversity in it. You
mm-hmm.
I think that is definitely something that carries over from the time period when we were like very very active in theater
mm-hmm.
In the prior days. But I wish you well on this. I know that you are so right on about is the audience catching up to the abundance of theater offerings that there are now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody's sort of scrambling for the same pie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know when I did a show with Coho last year, they were great about, well, Wayne, when you do this show, what new audiences, what new sort of groups are going to want to see this besides our traditional theater-going crowd? And that was just an eye-opener to me. I was like, oh, that is a great thing to think about.
Oh, it is. It's long-term thinking. And so perhaps with this free show that you're offering to students and seniors, that is a way to, grow that audience, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Wayne, for jumping in there and responding to my call for you know for a guest today when Lauren got sick. But I appreciate you joining me and have a great final weekend.
Thank you very much, Dime.
And again, Jaffa Gate and Noisemaker is this final weekend, and you can find out more at nwtw.org or stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio, where I have all the links to that. That's it for Stage and Studio, actually. Thanks to engineer Judy Feistel. I'll have the show online later today at stageandstudio.org, as well as on iTunes. And you can like us on facebook.com/stageandstudio or tweet me at stageandstudio. I'll also have it at kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Till next time, I'm Dime Roberts.